good evening. How are y'all this evening? That's good. Good to hear it. I'm doing pretty good, too. Praise the Lord. Glad y'all are here. Glad to see y'all online, too. Well, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Trading My Sorrows. Trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Nailed to the tree. rivers be. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Free pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Free pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty.
Amen.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love for me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to pick a hymn? All right. Anybody got a tune? Blessed Assurance. That's a good one. All right. Blessed Assurance. I don't know. Yeah, probably. Blessed Redeemer. 572. Yeah. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen.
Okay, prayer needs tonight. I've got one. My wife is does not have the COVID. Praise the Lord. Amen. She got tested and was negative, but she's got a huge congestion, sinus thing going on. And she's at that point where it's starting to break up, but it won't come up. And she is miserable. So who would like to pray for my wife tonight and pray that she doesn't have to work tomorrow? She's a banker, so she got that federal holiday off. So she got to be well by Tuesday. Amen. Pray for her, brother. Amen.
Yeah, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you've given us. We give you all the glory and lift you up on high. Lord, we thank you for this church, Lord, and we just thank you for being able to pray to here today with the people that we love, God, and that you love. We lift up Stephanie up to you, Lord, and she's got this sinus infection, Lord, and seems like something like this happens to her every year.
Every other year. Just
Lord,
about,
and we just ask you to clear it up. And when she can get back to work by Tuesday, give her rest. And, you know, if she's taking any medicine, Lord, we just pray that medicine works and just knocks this infection out, Lord. And we just miss her. We love her. And we just ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Other prayer needs tonight? Other prayer needs? Yes, ma'am.
So, Amanda, my niece.
Yes.
So, her husband Daniel has been in the hospital for the last week.
Okay. Oh, my. Yeah. And what's his name?
Daniel Selvage.
Daniel Selvage. And so have they biopsied the mass? Do they? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay, so this is Amanda over at the school. This is her husband. So who would like to pray for Daniel Selvage? Daniel Selvage. Who'd like to lift up Daniel tonight? You going to take it, brother? Do you want any Germex, man? Do you need any Germex? Yeah, let me get some.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift up Daniel to you, Lord. We just pray for his wellness, Lord. We pray for the doctors that got and guide their hand to relieve this situation, Lord, that they can stop the bleeding, and then be able to go and deal with the mass, Lord. We just pray for their family to give them peace and comfort during this time as he goes through this ordeal, Lord. We just pray for his safety that you pull him through this, Lord, and we know that you give the doctors all the wisdom and knowledge to do everything they need to do, Lord.
Yes.
We just thank you for all that you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Are there any other prayer needs? Prayer needs?
My sister-in-law, Lydia.
Lydia.
Getting a hernia operation.
Yeah.
Wednesday at Methodist.
And, okay.
So pray for her. Okay.
Okay, Lydia having hernia surgery on what day?
It'll be on Wednesday.
Okay, who wants to lift up Lydia? You got her back here? All right, we'll get you, man. We'll get you. Amen.
Lord, we just come you to asking blessing on Lydia, Lord, and have the doctors perform the surgery. Just, you know, make it comfortable for her and make it, you know, where it be pain-free, Lord. Again, these hernias, you know, they're it can be aggravating, Lord.
Yes.
But again, just guide the doctors and make it have a speedy recovery, Lord. And again, that's what we come to you for, Lord, is the trust and hope in you to take care of her needs. We praise your name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. There's some Germex right there, brother. Right there. All right. Any other prayer needs? Yes, sir, brother John. You got to praise, man. Let's hear it. Yeah. All right.
Amen. You know, nobody likes hospitals, and I'm not going to tell you that my experience was the best, but I knew you guys were praying for me. And diagnosis is basically ulcers at this point, so I appreciate you all praying for me.
Amen.
Medication is not the greatest taste and stuff, but hopefully it'll heal it up and don't have to have any surgery. There are some follow-up tests I'm going to be doing, but I do appreciate the church praying for me.
Amen, brother. We enjoyed praying for you. We love you. Amen, man. All right. Other prayer needs or praises? Yes, sir, in the back. Yeah. Poor Zeus. Yeah. Who wants to pray? This is Lori's friend, co-worker?
Former co-worker, but still friend, yeah.
Okay, Zeus, and he's got the COVID, and he's struggling with some depression. Amen. Who'd like to live? How old is Zeus? 43. Would you like to pray for Zeus tonight? Amen, brother. Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank you for all your blessings that you give us each day. We ask you, Lord, to watch over Zeus during his time of depression and
yes.
Heal him, Lord. Let him know that you're there for him and you'll always be with him and guide him. And those who have COVID, Lord, we ask you to be with them and comfort them, to heal all them and to heal this world of the COVID that we are experiencing.
Yes.
Just be with us and guide us, Lord, for this we ask in our Savior's name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, any other praises or prayer needs? Praises or prayer needs? Anybody? Anybody? Bobby, you got anything? Nothing? Sharon Heibarger. Sharon Heibarger, amen. Amen. Very good. Can I share a little bit about that? Can I share about the Sharon Heibarger? Can I share about that? She called late last night, and she was really feeling discouraged. She's had a foot surgery. She had a car wreck 4 months ago, and she's had foot surgery and been in a what is she? I don't even know what she's in. She's in a splint. Yeah, can't walk on it, just stove up, basically bedridden or in a wheelchair, and kind of starting to get to her, you can imagine, amen? Kind of starting to get to her. And so she called last night and said she had been confessing her sins one by one, and she felt this huge weight lift off of her, and then she felt the demonic coming to attack her. And buddy, that, you know, when we're at our weakest, physically, emotionally, spiritually, that's when the devil comes a knocking. And so she called and we talked and I listened and we prayed and she slept. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's what we were praying for. The peace that passes all understanding. Never, ever be ashamed or afraid to admit you're under some kind of an attack. You need God's people praying for you. Amen? Because if you're saved, hey, there is no possession. You cannot be possessed by the devil or by a demon. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. But you can't be oppressed. You can't be oppressed. And it's the things we've done to ourselves. It's the ground we've given up with sins and mistakes we've made and all that stuff. Sometimes the demonic gets in there and messes around with us. So remember her tonight. Amen?
Amen?
Who wants to pray for Sharon tonight? All right. You going to pray for sis? You better pray a good prayer for your sister, man. Yeah. Don't be halfway. All right.
Father God, we come to you this evening, Lord, just thanking you. And we lift up Sharon to you. We just thank you for her. Thank you for the life that she's had. Thank you for
Amen.
The influence she's had. And Lord, as James 5:16 says, is confess your faults one to another.
Yes.
And pray one for another. Let ye be healed. The affectionate, fervent prayers of a righteous man prevaileth much. I pray this prayer for this verse for my sister. I pray for complete healing. I pray for no more problems. I pray for her just to complete peace in her life and in all and understand everything that's going on. And just we pray the love of Jesus around her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. You need some good? You're good? Okay. All right. Anybody else got anything? Yeah, do you know that little Sarah?
Sarah, yes. Sarah
got
in the
Yeah, right.
So now she comes, she has sports, but she comes with
Okay.
Her mom is always with, so she'd come the last couple of times before Christmas break, and her mom's like, she wants to come. She wants to come.
Praise the Lord.
Anyway,
yeah,
she's a sweet little girl.
Yeah.
She's in my niece's class.
Okay.
Yeah, Amanda's class.
Amen.
That's
who that is?
Yes.
That last name threw me. That last name threw me.
Carrie Garman, right? Her mother is his daughter.
Yeah, right, right, right. Yeah.
Sarah's
the
blonde hair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Amen. 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 Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. I know it. They go to I think they go to Magnolia's First, or they go to Magnolia Bible Church? They go to one of those. I'm not sure. She comes to school and goes to Tijuana's here. Yeah, that's great. Amen. Anything else? All the time. All the time, God is good.
Now, God, I just want to say God is good. You know, God has been good to me, and I always give him praise. You know, I've worked for 48 years, and I've always had a job.
Amen.
I've always went to work. And God is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's times I probably didn't deserve it. You know, there's a lot of times we don't deserve what God gives us, the way we act, what we do.
Yeah.
But I have been blessed for 48 years. I've never been without a job.
So, story of my life, brother.
Amen.
14 been working. Been working since 14. That's about your story, isn't it? 14, 15, something like that. Amen. All right. Is that it? Anything else? Anything online? All right. Online, folks, good to see y'all. Amen. Very good, very good. All right, all right. We'll shut her down. And very good. We'll commence to doing our Revelation. The book of Revelation. All right. If you have a copy of God's Word this evening, take it in turn. We are in Revelation. Chapter 17, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. We read this passage on Wednesday night. We read it again this evening. And we begin, as we introduced 17 on Wednesday night, we seek to dive into it. I've already made some comments to some that came early that when the metaphor starts to hurt my head and make me chase my tail back and forth in the Word of God, I can only imagine. I've been in it all week. I can only imagine what it's going to kind of maybe do to you. But we're not going to seek to go just real far, real deep. But we're going to seek to make two steps forward. And then we'll, you know, Wednesday, we'll take a step back and review. And then we'll take another step forward. And so we'll just keep doing that till we get through the metaphor and get through the details of all of it and everything. Okay? Amen? All right. So Revelation chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, 'Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly.'" Now, if you'll jump down to verse 15, "He said to me, 'The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the prayer we've had tonight, Lord, and the ability and the want to come out and bear one another's burdens. And Lord, we just lift all these things up to you tonight. We pray that you make intercession on our behalf. Lord, as we've laid these things down at your feet, we thank you for the praises tonight. We thank you for the request tonight. We thank you for your word that was shared tonight. And Lord, we just pray that you attune us up, open our hearts and our minds. It's been a long day. Open our hearts and our minds and allow us to receive some more truth that we can apply to our hearts, the Holy Spirit can use to make us more into the image of Christ. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory for being able to be here, have the heat on, have a padded place to seat, Lord. Light's good. Everything's good, good. So we just praise you and thank you for that. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we, again, introduced this last time, Wednesday night. And last time we talked about religion and the implications and challenges of being created as human beings with this innate desire, this God-placed desire within us to worship Almighty God. I mean, it's an amazing thing that God has done in us, creating us the way He's created us. But we said because of sin and humanity's fall, we struggle with a love for sin, and the usurper Satan knows this. The demonic knows this. So he and his demonic horde seek to tempt us to fill this God-shaped vacuum. Remember we shared that Blaise Pascal quote, that God-shaped vacuum with things that are not God. All the time trying to move us, the demonic is trying to move us to fill our hearts with a love and a devotion for evil. Now, as we go into this beginning of the new year and all of this stuff, crazy stuff is happening around us, I remind you of the Ethan Crumbly's case in Michigan. Now, what are you talking about, Ethan Crumbly's case in Michigan? That's where he shot dead four schoolmates. He shot four schoolmates dead, and he injured seven other schoolmates. This is the case where Ethan's parents, who were also arrested and faced multiple charges of manslaughter for ignoring the warning signs of their son's imbalanced thoughts and actions. Now, in addition, when the criminal case is all said and done, the deceased victim's loved ones, along with the victims that survived the November 30th shooting, I promise you, mark it down, they would go after the school district for millions of dollars in damages in civil litigation. Now, Ethan had numerously reported to his parents that when he was alone in the house, he felt like there was a demon or someone else in the house with him. So, kind of as a review of what we covered last week, talking about religion, if you give the demonic an inch, they will take the proverbial mile. They will take the proverbial mile in your life. They will take the proverbial mile in your family's life, in your home life, and especially a lost individual. It is difficult, difficult, difficult. So, kind of just set the stage for us as we begin to look at these beginning verses. As we've read verses 1 through 6 and then jump down to verse 15, the angel that we see here is one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls. Now, this angel makes the connection that the judgment of the harlot was by the seven last plagues. Those are the last, remember? The seven bowls, the seven last plagues. That was Revelation 16, 1 through 21. Now, remember, as previously noted, as we introduced 17, we talked about 18 as well. As previously noted on Wednesday night, chronology going forward in time, that stops. We're back to a parenthetical statement, Brother Ron. We're back to a long parenthesis in chapter 17 and 18. And the scene shifts from God's judgments to Antichrist's world empire, which is the target of the judgments. Now we get to see in detail how the world empire is judged by the last judgment, the seven bowls. Does that make sense? We're in a parenthetical statement, right? We're talking about detail now. So the first question, who is the harlot? The great harlot that will be judged is not an actual prostitute. That's not what we're talking about here. The term harlot, here we go with the metaphor, so hold on. The term harlot is a metaphor for false religion, okay? False religion. It's a metaphor for spiritual defection. It's a metaphor for idolatry. It's a metaphor for religious apostasy. Now, I may be completely 180 degrees off. I may be wrong as wrong can be. But I believe, I think, I just kind of know down in my heart that Islam is going to be some form of Islam is going to be the worldwide religion. Yeah, Islam. Islam, in their eschatology, guess who is the Antichrist and guess who is the false, in their eschatology? The evangelicals. Yeah, yeah. So it's all going to come full circle one day when we get to the end of this tribulation. In the Bible, several cities are designated harlot cities because of their idolatry and pursuit of false religion, thus committing spiritual adultery. Examples include, of course, Babylon. We talked about that last week. But also Nineveh. Praise the Lord, the Ninevites repented. And then you've got Tyre. And then sadly, even the city of Jerusalem, John's vision exposes several aspects of the harlot city of Babylon. Now, what the harlot city of Babylon, we first off want to discuss, what the harlot city of Babylon possessed, all right? That's chapter 17, we've read that. Verse 1, what does it say there? Second half. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me. Second half of verse 17, 1, saying, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sets on many waters. The great harlot possessed great authority. The harlot in John's vision sits in a position of authority and sovereignty like a king on his throne or beside many waters. Now, Christ cities in ancient times were usually located near a source of water, either the ocean or a river or a lake or a spring, some source of water. That was true of Babylon, which was located on the Euphrates River. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 13 says, O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures, your end has come, the measure of your end. So the phrase, you who dwell by many waters, in this passage applies to the future Babylon. Just as the proud capital of the Babylonian Empire took her seat beside many waters, so also will the Babylonian harlot city of the future. Now, the phrase many waters does not refer to the harlot's geographical location. The angel explains this, and that is why we read verse 15 in chapter 17. So 17:15. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The metaphor means, this is what the metaphor means, that since a city situated in a commanding position on a great waterway would be highly influential, the harlot will not merely influence, but will dominate all the unredeemed peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues of the earth. What you need to get here is that the harlot's authority will be universal. Totality. The entire world, except for those that have received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, in the tribulation, the entire world will be committed to the false worship of the Babylonian system rather than the true God. So the harlot city of Babylon's that we're talking about. We've looked at what Babylon possessed. Now we're going to look at the harlot city of Babylon's political alliances. And they are neither Republican or Democrat, okay? They are something altogether different. Look at 17, 2 and 3. With whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. Her association. Is your head hurting yet? Hold on. Her association with the kings of the earth reveals that the scope of the harlot's influence will be immense. What is the harlot? It's the false system of religion. Remember? All right, don't lose that. Okay? Those at the highest levels of power, those at the highest levels of influence, will commit spiritual fornication with her. The phrase committed acts of immorality translates from a Greek verb, porneo, which means to commit sexual immorality. Now, what is it saying here, Pastor? This phrase describes the harlot's interaction with the kings of the earth. The rulers from around the world will become obsessed with the Babylonian harlot. They will become obsessed with this worldwide false religion. They won't be able to help themselves. They will just take it hook, line, and sinker. They will drink the proverbial Kool-Aid, all of it, and ask for more. I mean, they're just going to keep on, keep on, and keep on. Deceived by the false prophet and deceived by the Antichrist and Satan and his demon hosts, the rulers from around the world will become enamored with the false world religion. Now, jump on back here a couple of chapters here with me to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, and we want to look at verse 8 and kind of hold your place in 13, because we'll read a few more. I believe we'll read a few more passages out of chapter 13. It says, all who dwell on the earth, 13:8. Have you made it? Amen. Amen. Just a few chapters from where we're at. All right. 13:8 says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. The point, the angel, and subsequently John through his writing, is trying to make is that having joined themselves to the harlot economically and socially and militarily and politically and religiously, they will share the harlot's disastrous fate. They're going to share the disastrous fate of the harlot. Making sense to you? Amen? So by extension of politics, all the unbelievers of the earth will be made drunk with the wine of her immorality. All the unredeemed will be caught up in the final false religion, giving their hearts and souls to the abominable Babylonian harlot. That's why, You know, maybe just a little application for us here this evening is that, you know, when we know something to be a cult, and we know something to be a false religion, right? We know something to be off. We know something to not be gospel. We need to be very careful when we try to pay any homage to that. Well, you know, those people are sincere. You know, they're really good folks, hard workers. Man, they really take care of their families. We need to be very, very careful in paying homage to that when we know the difference. Because, friend, it doesn't come down to taking care of your family, and it doesn't come down to this or that. It comes down to the gospel of Jesus Christ and who knows Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And so our flesh, our fear to witness brings those things out. Well, you know, they're good people. Don't say that. Say they need Jesus. They need Jesus. They're good people who need Christ. They're good people who need to be told that they have a problem with sin and that there's a Savior who's taken care of the sin by dying on the cross. And I need to tell them. I need to show them. I need to try to get a word in edgewise, right? I need to break through their religious facade and get a word in edgewise about what a relationship with Jesus Christ is all about, right? It's not about having a secret wedding wearing special underwear in an undisclosed inner temple and having your own universe one day. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel is we're sinners in need of a Savior, and God loved us so much, He sent the solution to our sin. His own Son, who was perfect. And He lived and died on a cross to shed His blood to cover the penalty of our sin. Amen? Amen. Instead, the angel is not describing people who are physically drunk with literal wine, committing sexual immorality with an actual prostitute, though that may be happening in the midst of all this. Instead, the angel is talking about those who are passionately intoxicated with Antichrist's illicit, false world religion. The imagery that we have here in the book of Revelation is really out of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 7, the Word of God reads this: Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are going mad. The nations are going mad. Before the next alliance of the harlot is revealed, the scene of John's vision changes. The angel with whom John has been speaking carried him away in the spirit into a wilderness. Now, I read that verse, but flip on back with me and we'll read it one more time. 17, verse 3. 17, 3. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. John's wilderness experience. How are we going to describe that? What's going on here? Wilderness translates from the Greek word eremos, which describes a deserted, a desolate wasteland like the region where modern Babylon is located. In that place, John saw a woman, the Babylonian harlot whom the angel had just described in verses 1 and 2. What's she doing? She was sitting on a scarlet beast whose description identifies him. This beast is none other than the Antichrist. Okay? The Antichrist. That the woman was sitting on the scarlet beast signifies that the Antichrist was supporting her. So, back to Wednesday night. As we mentioned Wednesday evening in the Bible study, the initial and unifying and controlling factor of Antichrist's kingdom will be religion. Why? Why will it be religion? We shared all about this on Wednesday night. Because of the heavens and of the earth being ravaged by God's judgments and the world's political, the world's economic, the world's military might crumbling. That is the reason people will turn in desperation to the supernatural. And this is going to be the jive in the sauce. This is going to be the jive turkey right here, right? I mean, Islam right now, I mean, when you think about Islam, you know, you think about third world country, right? Yeah, you think about that. And you think about Arab countries. And you think about rocks and sand and maybe a few palm trees and somebody planted them and maybe an irrigation ditch. But you don't think much of CNN, TVs everywhere, and Fox News, giant TVs, and the Weather Channel and all the technology that goes with it. here those two will come together. These things will come together. The technology and the false religion will meld into one. And friend, everywhere people turn, there'll be the false religion. Everywhere they turn, and we already see this, don't we, today? Don't we see it on the TikToks and the Snapchats and the Facebooks and the we see there's a demonic element to all that, right? Even in the email, there's a demonic element even in the email engines and all that stuff, right? So she was sitting on a scarlet beast whose description identifies him, this beast, as who? The Antichrist. That the woman was sitting on the scarlet beast signifies that he was what? Supporting her, right? Okay? They're coming over, they're coming into this false religion because of the three sets of judgments, right? The trumpets, the seals, and the bowls, okay? Wham, wham, wham. And we get to the bowls in 16, 1 through 21. Cumulative effect happening quickly, right? So things are stacking up. They've already seen the seals, they've already been through the trumpets, and now here comes the bowls. More people. The beast and the woman will coexist for a while. That is, the religion will be separate from the kingdom of Antichrist at first. In other words, there will be a political ruler, and then there will be the false prophet and the religion side, right? There'll be two separate entities. Because what are we not liking? We not liking mixing up church and state, amen? We don't like that. Don't bring religion to the courthouse, right? It's going to be kind of separate for a while, right? Going to be kind of separate, amen? And then verse 16 occurs. If you'll look at 17, 16. Eventually 16 occurs, chapter 17, 16, and the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. At that point, the false prophet will make the whole world worship the Antichrist. Remember we talked about a wound? He's going to have a wound. Maybe it's a real wound. Maybe it's a false wound. He's going to appear what? Dead, and then he's going to what? Or he's going to resurrect, right? Right? And so if you'll jump back to 13, kind of as a long-term review, 13:11, chapter 13, verse 11. Are you there with me? Amen? I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. At that point, the false prophet will make the whole world worship Antichrist per 13 verses 11 through 14, and everything will be one in the beast, will be one in the beast, universal and comprehensive rule. Are you with me so far? We're talking about John's wilderness experience described, the apostle, right? We see here, let me get back to 17. I'm in 17. How about that? The woman was clothed in purple. I'm looking at verse 4. That's too far. Verse 3, and he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and the ten horns. Scarlet is the color associated with luxury. All right. It's also a pretty name. You name a girl Scarlet. That's a beautiful name. But it's a color associated with luxury. It's a color associated with splendor. It's a color associated with royalty. It's also associated with sin, also with sin. And it's the color of blood, scarlet, all right? Antichrist will be a splendorous, royal, sinful, bloodlusting beast full of blasphemous names. An arrogant self-deification, self-deification. Antichrist will take for himself the names and titles that belong to God. He will not only blaspheme God by what he claims, but also by what he says. In the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, and again in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, there is a phrase that goes like this. Antichrist will speak out against the Most High and will speak monstrous things against the God, capital God of gods, lowercase G-O-D-S. This demonic scarlet beast is further described as having seven heads and ten horns, showing the extent of his many alliances. And that's where we leave it. My head's not hurting too bad. Just poor K, a little bit. Amen. Hopefully you got some of it. We'll review what we've covered tonight on Wednesday evening, and then we'll try to push forward a little bit further into chapter 17. Amen, church?
Amen.
All right, let's bow for a closing word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you that we could be in your word, and Lord, we could learn from it or seek to learn from it. And Lord, we're in a many difficult passages in the book of Revelation. We find ourselves in another one. These parenthetical statements seem to make me study deeper and harder and try to figure out how they all relate to one another. But Lord, we know that this book goes together with great continuity, and it ties in so much with the Old Testament, even all the way back to the book of Genesis, as we shared last week in Wednesday's Bible study. And Lord, we just praise you for it. We praise you for this book of last things, this book of last days, this book of the great tribulation, and this book of your second coming. As we mentioned this morning, Lord, may we hold to the fact that we are seeing the very signs of the times of Jesus returning to this earth. Lord, we know there's a rapture coming first, but Lord, we know after the rapture, things begin to deteriorate and go proverbially south pretty quick in a matter of just 3.5 years, and then things get really rough the second 3.5 years. So Lord, please help us. Please help us to be a witness. Please help us to be in your word and to be in a spirit of prayer as we go through this next week. And Lord, we thank you in advance for the opportunities that you will give us to serve you, to be a blessing to others, to be an encouragement, and to be a lover of people, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you for the love of Christ that you put in us, and may we be sharers and givers and talkers of that very love to others. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed online. We'll see you. Take care. We'll be back with you Wednesday night.